Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and I want to show you, Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, and Tom and I both remember one of the great early leaders of Word of Life, a little guy named Don Robbie Robertson. In fact, I guess your first son is named after Robbie, isn't he? And this guy was all of about 4'9" or 10" or something like that. He was just the greatest witness any place. I can remember one time them telling that he was trying to lead somebody to the Lord at every moment he could. He walked into a men's room. There was a guy drunk in the men's room, sitting on the floor. So here's Robbie in his suit, all dressed up and everything, fit to kill. He just leans up over against the wall, slides down on the floor, sitting in the bathroom floor, leading this guy to Jesus Christ. Wherever there's an opportunity, he would take it and do it. Well, he had a series on Timothy, Timely Tips for Timid Timothy in Troublesome Times. Don't you like that? You can't say it fast. From the transformed tent maker. Oh, I forgot the last part of it there. Timely tips for Timid Timothy in troublesome times from the transformed tent maker. Boy, say that. That is a tongue twister, I guarantee you. But Robbie just used to bring the house down when he would teach the Word of God. But I just, in our study of the Islamic faith and what I believe is a product of Satan's subtle strategy to take dominion over the world, I was drawn to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I want to launch our discussion this morning with 1 Timothy, and then we'll conclude with 2 Timothy. And, Paul anticipated the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll conclude this morning by looking at his eagerness for the return of Christ. His motivation was in the fact that there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him, and not for him only, but for all of us who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. In light of that, now he is teaching his young disciple, Timothy, to go forth and preach the word, to go forth and hold forth that which you have learned from a very childhood with your mother and your grandmother. And he's going to be talking about the Word of God and the inspiration of it. In that context, in the understanding of his teaching, I want you to notice a couple of phrases that he makes that I seem very appropriate for today. Look at verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Isn't that interesting? This is not Paul speaking. Remember, Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration. It is God-breathed, all Scripture given to him. And so he is saying, now this is not me speaking. I have stepped aside. The Spirit of God speaketh expressly on the subject I'm going to bring to your attention. That in the latter times would have to be the conclusion of the church age. Paul, the apostle to the church, the one who wrote the epistles that helped us, in fact, 1 Timothy, laid out the chapter before, the chapters before had laid out how in a government, human government situation, chapter 2, and a church government operation, chapter 3, you're able to have the freedom and opportunity and the right to live godly lives and go forth and preach the gospel. And in light of that, now he says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days, in the days in which I believe we're living, some shall depart from the faith. Apistemy is that word. It's not apostasia. The word apostasy is used twice in the Bible. It's used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's used in the book of Acts. It's talking in the book of Acts. The word apostasia means literally to depart from some place to go to another place. We have misinterpreted what it means in 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians just for a second. Let me just show you something. Again, here Paul writing to the people at Thessaloniki about this particular subject as well. And let me just throw this into your computer for your thinking. Many have said that what has to happen before the Antichrist can come on the scene is that apostasy must run rampant. Now, Paul is writing the subject as he is writing here to us as we're reading. He's telling us what it's going to be about in the latter days, but he said those latter days actually have already started now. I'm warning you of those things that are happening. This is only going to increase as we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had told already the people of Thessaloniki about apostasia. This is not the same thing. Again, the classic definition of apostasia is to depart from one place to go to another place. Now, it could be applied to some extent, and the English word we get, apostasy, is departing from the right doctrinal truth and going to another doctrinal truth. But what does it mean in the context here? Look at chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of the Lord, the day that Jesus Christ will gather us up to be with Him, starting in chapter 2, verse 1. That's what He's talking about, us being gathered up to be with Him. He's talking about the rapture of the church. He's continuing to explain, and He says the rapture takes place, then the day of the Lord. The rapture is not in the day of the Lord. Definition for the day of the Lord, any time in history when God intercedes in the affairs of man personally on the earth. Rapture takes place in the heavenlies, not on the earth. But let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be, and the King James it translates apostasia here, the one of two locations it's used, a falling away first. Not the best translation. I just told you the best translation for apostasia is departing from one place to go to another. In the classic Greek, they use it, and in Koine Greek, they used it for explaining a person going on a vacation. I am going to leave Chattanooga and I'm going to Word of Life. I am going to leave Chattanooga and go to, I am apostasia Chattanooga to Word of Life. I'm going to depart from one place and go to another. So what is he talking about here? What I would suggest, and Tommy just mentioned several men who have written in the book, Countdown to Armageddon. One of them was Dr. Tommy Ice. Dr. Tommy Ice is probably one of the most scholarly young prophecy teachers we have on the scene today. He heads up the group called the Pre-Trib Study Group, which is a closed group of prophecy teachers established by Dr. Tim LaHaye. I just thank the Lord that I have had the privilege to be in that group. We meet every December out in Dallas, Texas, for a purpose of doing something similar to what we're doing here. We have our own Bible study. It's not open to the public. We have a Bible study, and it's so interesting. We come to this Bible study. We go in, and different ones of us will give a paper on eschatological events, our dispensational theology. And then, after an hour's worth of giving a paper, we have an hour and a half, the rest of us who've been listening to the paper, to attack the one who gave the paper. It is so interesting to try to see us defend. Now, I have the joy of never having given a paper, but always giving updates on current events, and who can debate that? So I just, you know, all these theoreticians are wound, their clocks are wound up when I get finished, and I've got them ready to charge hell with a water pistol by the time I get finished. So I have the convenience of being able to do that. I do the update. It's interesting to watch some of these great scholarly guys. If I was to mention your name, you'd know exactly who they are. And they get up and they start reading they're so precise. They don't even want to speak extemporaneously. They're reading their papers along, you know. And then we always have the Holy Trinity there in the service. John Walford, Dwight Benacost, and Charles Ryrie. We call them the Holy Trinity. Anyway. And it's so interesting to watch these guys. They'll be reading and they'll kind of look up to see what is the Holy Trinity going like this? Or like this? You know? But Tommy Ice heads up that particular study group. So, you know, he has to be a very scholarly individual, has his PhD. And he presented this and I bought into it. What is he talking about here? Not a falling away in doctrine. Not apostasy as we would take the English definition and apply it here, apostasia, departing from one place to go to another. What he is saying here, the Antichrist is not going to come onto scene until after the rapture of the church has taken place, departing from this place and going to another. And so the true usage of the word apostasia here, has that been a problem, some of you, in your 2 Thessalonians studies? It had been for me. I mean, I knew how to deal with it, but now it comes really into focus. The Antichrist will not come onto scene until after the rapture. Apostasia, I depart from this place and go to another. You, as the body of Christ, depart and go to another. I throw it out for your consideration. I'm absolute that it is correct. So when we get to heaven, if you want to confirm it, you'll be able to find me. I'll be by the Lord because we'll be up there talking about this. But but I do believe that's what it's talking about. But when we go back to 1 Timothy now, in chapter 4, it is not apostasia that's here. It's the word that apostasia is derived from, and my translation of the Greek is aphistemi, is what it is. Aphistemi is this word here, and it means now to depart, and basically in the context talking about departing from the doctrine that we hold fast in light of who we are as born-again believers. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And that word faith, probably, it is used most of the time when the word for faith is translated, but it could well mean belief, and it's not talking about anybody being able to lose their salvation. I'll give you a proof text in just a moment. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons. In other words, in the last days, there are going to be those who claim they were in the faith. Was it you, Tommy, that mentioned the other day when we were talking about it, that you had just read in the paper about a multitude of people supposedly leaving Christianity and going into Islam? Did you read that? Where did you get that from?
It was in the St.
Petersburg Times Sunday. Evidence. They will depart from their belief system as they had it and fall prey to doctrines of demons.